Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to December's edition of She Flourishes, a podcast by women and for women. I am so excited today because we have a very special guest. Her name is Michelle Myers, and ladies, if you were at our most recent women's event back in November, you remember Michelle was our speaker. And Michelle, we just absolutely adored having you. I have heard stories after stories of how ladies just really took notes from what you were saying, and God just really spoke to their heart through your words. And so thank you so much for coming. So for the ladies that were not there that day at Refresh and weren't able to join us, would you just mind sharing a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Well, listen, it was balm to my soul to be there. So thank you guys for having me. It was such an encouragement to see what God is doing in Rock Hill through your church and just everything that is happening within the lives of women there. So I'm Michelle. I live in Asheville, North Carolina. My husband and I are both on staff at Biltmore Church, and we have three kids, Noah, Cole, and Shay. So two boys and a girl. So we're not bored. there's a lot to do there. I'm also the co-founder of a nonprofit for women called She Works His Way, and we love coming alongside women and the local church to provide discipleship resources so that women can have gospel conversations both in intentional discipleship settings and as they go in their lives that God has called them to live.
Yeah, I love that so much. And, you know, I noticed at Refresh, a lot of the ladies were going to the merch table that you guys had and picking up resources. So it was so good to see them get some things that could help them grow in their walk with Jesus. And so they were getting some of the commentaries. I saw a lot of them get the She Works His Way book, which I absolutely adore. So you kind of spoke on it just now, but tell us a little bit more about the She Works His Way ministry, how it got started and what it looks like today.
Yeah, you're asking me at a dangerous time of year because I get really reflective at the end of the year. And we're also at a decade of inviting women into this mission with us.
Wow.
And we have really seen some pivots in the ministry that God has called us to. I feel like when we first started, women were kind of being funneled into our ministry from the secular workplace. And, you know, we were kind of in those trenches as well. And in the last few years, we've really felt called as a team to make sure that the funnel doesn't stop at She Works His Way. And so in addition to women being funneled into us from their secular jobs, we not only wanted to keep the funnel going to send them kind of back into their workplaces, their kids' schools, their neighborhoods, like all of these places where they go to really embrace their mission as God's missionary and God's messenger in that place, but also to funnel them back to the local church, which is what we believe is God's plan A for community. And yeah. So we have transitioned from just having resources that individuals can come to into really putting things that put women in a group and that put them in a setting where they are. Because the two main commands that we have, to love God and to love others. And so to really live the one another's out in scripture. So some of the resources that you were talking about, our commentaries, the She Works His Way book, they're really all centered, even the podcast, centered around women having these gospel conversations and seeing how women really do grow in conversation. As you guys see with your podcast that you have here, that is a great way for women to learn and grow in their walk with the Lord and in their relationships with each other. So, so much has evolved, but it has been so encouraging to see churches step into the mission of She Works His Way in addition to individuals. Like, that is our heartbeat, and God has just been so faithful.
Yeah, and I absolutely love that you guys point women back to the local church. That is so good. Well, hey, you know, we talked a little bit about Refresh and how God moved back in November. And I personally was just taking so many notes when you were talking. I love how you mentioned in the first session how the Holy Spirit is the one that equips us to understand and read and know God's word. For the ladies that weren't there, what would you say are kind of like the top three most important takeaways for them from your messages at Refresh?
Yeah, you know, as we are, maybe you're getting kind of goal-oriented thinking toward 2024, I'll recap the two things that I think are the most important that will both empower and simplify. your 2024. Because if there's anything, I think that as women, I feel like we're natural complicators.
Yes.
And so anytime that something can be simplified for us, I think is a big win. But two things that will simplify and empower 2024 for you and all of the years to come are pursuing a personal relationship with the Lord, in understanding that it's not just knowledge about God, but it is knowing God. And we get to know God through His word, through prayer, through doing life shoulder on shoulder with other believers. And so connecting to God in a personal way of understanding that Scripture is God's way of communicating with us. And so if you want to get to know the voice of God, you know, Scripture tells us that my sheep know my voice. How do I get to know His voice? You listen to Him. And one of the main ways that He still speaks boldly, plainly, articulately is through His word. And so spending time in it, remembering that these are not just words on a page, that this is actually God speaking to you. Mm. And so taking it as nourishment, as bread that we need for our everyday. So there's that personal, so that's solitude. That is just our time alone with the Lord, and understanding that that solitude, that time with the Lord, is what prepares us to take that next step and to step into biblical community and to bring what God is showing us in our personal relationship with Him and encouraging other believers with that. We talked about this at Refresh True, that encouragement is not affirmation. Mm-hmm. Encouragement is not just a lighthearted something that we say because it sounds nice. Encouragement literally means to put courage in. And when we take what God is showing us in our personal relationship with Him and we share that with other people, that puts courage in other people to live their lives boldly for the gospel. Yeah. And so it's not just, because I think personality-wise, we naturally gravitate towards one or the other, to where we're introverted. And when we think about time alone in Scripture, that's like our happy place. And we get really, really pumped up about that. For others of us, we're like, that's really hard. But like a party, an event, a social gathering, sign me up. I am there. But realizing that we need to step out of our comfort zones. Uh-huh. And the other element, whether it's solitude or community, whichever one is more important, both are part of God's plan for you to flourish.
Yeah.
And so taking both of those, I think will, if you need to pursue a personal relationship with the Lord deeper, or you need to take that next step into community beyond just church attendance, but stepping into a place where you are known and you are a real participant in your discipleship, those two things will both empower and simplify your 2024 in ways that I don't think anything else can.
So good. So good. Ladies, I hope you're listening in, because this is good stuff right here. This is gold right here. So good, Michelle. Well, you know, today is December the 14th, and so Christmas is coming, and so I still have a lot of gifts to buy. Like, a lot of people's gifts are still in my thoughts and prayers, and so so I've got to get going on that. But you know, like, as women, we get caught up in the busyness of the season. We got to bake this. We got to go to this party. We got to wrap this gift. We got to pack this and do all the different things around Christmas time. And it's easy to live with a hurried soul at Christmas. Not only at Christmas, but in our lives, we can just kind of develop a pattern of that. And, you know, culture does scream out at us that busyness equals productivity. And so when we believe that, right, then we think, oh, if the more busy I am, the more Nobel prizes I will get, like the more, you know, special I am if I'm busy. But really, Jesus calls us to rest. So during the holiday season and just during in our lives in general, how do we as women live with unhurried souls?
Practice, number one.
Yeah.
But let me just take something that you said, and I'm just going to put it really, really plainly, because I would say this is something that I remind myself all the time, and that is that rest is productive. Mm-hmm. So if you have battled thinking that rest and productivity are in opposition, they are not. Your rest is what actually fuels you to be able to step into productivity. And so you need rest to be able to flourish. How do we know this? Because it is how God designed us. If you even go back to, go to Genesis 1. I'm not even going to make you go beyond chapter 1 of the Bible. But if you look at it, when God is talking about creation, he talks about the days and he says there was evening and there was morning, and that was day one. There was evening and there was morning, and that was day two. That was intentional to help us realize that our days don't start when our feet hit the floor. Mm-hmm. Our days actually begin when we rest, because God never stops working. And so when you wake up, that's not you getting the day started. That is you joining God in the work that he has already started while you were sleeping.
Wow.
And rest is a very practical way to practice dependence, which is part of God's design of how he made us. He created us to be dependent. Think about all of those natural rhythms that are in our day that make us stop. You have to sleep. You have to eat. Like, we are dependent on other sources. And that is just a way that parallels the dependence that we have on the Lord. And so it is such a different way to begin your day, with, instead of starting it from a perspective of all the things that you have to do, in praising God for all that he has done and asking him to help you step into the work that he has already started. And so that is a simple shift. But instead of me making my list and thinking about it, I begin my day by thanking God for all the things that he's already done. He woke me up.
Wow.
You know, like that, I didn't do that. Mm-hmm. It is realizing, when if you actually make a list of all of the things that God has done for you, that is a longer list. And I don't, it doesn't matter how big your to-do list is. And I know that it's big. I know it's long. Mm-hmm. But what God has done for us is so much more. And we just have to pause and remember that.
Yeah.
And then step into his work, because he has called us to join him in his work in the world. But we step into it with dependence and from a place of rest.
Yeah. That's such a cool concept and so good, because when we get up in the morning, I sometimes think, okay, now I got to go get X, Y, and Z done. But no, I'm waking up joining God in the work that he's already doing. Like you said, like he's working even when I sleep. So, I mean, he never, yeah. So that is so good, Michelle. And, you know, and I have to remind myself of this, because I think sometimes, and I've heard other women say it, well, I just feel bad for resting. I just feel bad for taking a break, because like we already mentioned, we think that our value, our identity, our worth is in what we do, rather than who we are in Christ. You know, and God commands rest. And you kind of talked about it just now, you know, Genesis 1, how God ordered our lives and the structure of the days. But, you know, if God commands rest, and we see that in Scripture, what really is the biblical meaning of rest?
Right. And that's hard, because I think so many times we just immediately jump to sleep.
Yeah.
Or I remember, for me, the first time that I was like, I'm going to try to practice the Sabbath. It was like, I would just try not to move.
And immobilize yourself.
Right. It's a very small way of viewing rest, but rest is really your soul resting in who God is and what he has done, and allowing yourself time that looks different, like specifically a Sabbath, having one day that looks different than the other six. And not doing it in such a way that is very rules bent of all of these I can'ts, but in a realization that God gave us that day as a gift to be like, hey, today you don't have to. Rest in me, put all the things aside, trust in me, and let this be your one daily glimpse of what eternity is going to be like, where we rest in the presence of the Lord, and we glorify and lift up his name, and all of the other things are behind us. Like, eternity becomes more real as you practice a Sabbath, because you actually have a day that mirrors far more what eternity will be like.
Yeah.
Doesn't so we don't escape from the broken world. You don't escape from any of those things. But God is like, give me a day so that that eternal perspective is easier for you to grasp.
Mm. Yeah. And on a very practical basis. Yeah. It's so good. Like I remember when I took a Sabbath about a week ago, I told myself the dishes will sit in the sink today. Like they will sit. Like they, that is okay.
And I'm going to recognize that as you said that, some people literally grabbed their hearts and that stressed them out so much. So listen, if dishes in the sink will stress you out, you can do the dishes and be restful. Some people can't. And that's where rest is personal.
Yeah.
So for me, it's very restful to go on, take my dog on a walk. That's very restful. Yeah. A lot of times during the week, though, when I take my dog on the walk, I'm doing a phone call at the same time, or I'm listening to a podcast. On the Sabbath, I'm just going to take the dog for a walk and enjoy. Might bring somebody in my family with me. I might just take a moment and enjoy the quiet, you know?
Yeah.
But don't put yourself in a rule of this is rest and this is not. What is restful to you might be not restful to someone else, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so good. And I love that, you know, and I'm thinking about right now for women, you know, that are working 8 to 5 and they come home and they've got kids and you know, and they've got their things in place and they may be thinking, well, you know, how do I create margin and space for rest? I want to ask you, what's kind of helped you do that and what's hindered you from that?
Oof. So you can't let the list rule. God's design has to rule.
Yeah.
And that means sometimes you do things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
Like not finishing the list.
Yeah.
But trusting that God's word tells us that he gives us everything that we need to live a godly life. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you'll finish everything on the list. But here's what I will tell you. Maybe not everything on your list God put there. There might be some things on your list that you're trying to do that you've put on your list that God didn't put on your list. I'm giving you a hug as I say this, but God doesn't promise to give us the energy and the stamina to do everything that he has called us to do and then everything that we want to do.
Okay. That right there, like ladies, as you're listening, please pause. What just happened? Pause the podcast and write that down. Okay. Like,
so if you're constantly getting to the end of the day and the list is not getting done, I would challenge you to ask God to evaluate your list and say,
yes,
man, what's on this list that you didn't put here? And then have the faith to take it off the list and trust God to be God.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And amen. And I think, you know, this is part of my sanctification, but when I first became a believer, I used to think, oh, the more things I do for God, if I'm just involved in this on Monday nights and in this choir practice on Tuesday nights and this on Wednesday, and I'm leading this Bible study on Thursday nights, and every single night of the week was busy with spiritual things, then that made it to where God would favor me more or God would love me more. You know, I used to think that that works. You know, but, and yes, we do need to have faith and we do need to show itself through works. But if we, if our hearts are not in it and we're just doing it to please God, that's not pleasing to him, right? Because it's about our hearts, right? It's about our hearts and connection to him and having that relationship, and what we do for him should flow out of that, you know? Yeah. So, that's so good. Yeah. So,
and listen, you know that I relate very much to that. And this is something that the Lord has had to major do a work in me about. But the realization that anytime that I make my faith more about what I do versus what has been done for me, the moment I've made it about me more than I've made it about Jesus.
Yeah.
And so your faith is so much more about what has been done for you.
Mm.
Don't let yourself fall victim to the lie that your faith will grow the more that you do. Sometimes you end up doing more, but you do from a place of my love for God versus my desire and my need to earn something. Jesus earned your place before God on the cross. That is not on you to earn. Jesus did it. It's done. It's paid for. And you get to walk in that identity and work that Jesus has done.
Mm. Yes, so good. Well, you know, my husband, he's wonderful. He can always tell if I am not living from a place of rest. He's like, "You're really irritable today. What's wrong? Did you just eat a salad for lunch? Like, are you hungry? Like, we can go eat a cheeseburger or something if that would cheer you up." And most of the time it does. But a lot of the times it's because I am not living from a place of rest. So that's my warning sign, is my husband can tell I'm becoming more irritable. But I want to ask you, you know, as women, what are some warning signs that we are not living from a place of rest?
Yeah, you know, God is so good, and He really did design us, body, soul, and spirit, to function together. And so we tend to like to compartmentalize things, to pretend like, you know, we have all of these different folders and we try to just balance them all as women. But God really made it to where they are interconnected. And so women typically hold stress in two ways. So one way is through emotions. And it could either be emotional explosions, like you are more emotional than normal, or you emotionally clam up to where emotions aren't possible. You're not experiencing your lows, but like you also can't feel joy either. And so your warning sign may come out in the way that you handle your emotions. For those of you who are like, emotions are not my thing, then you may take it on physically to where you're like, I can't explain this chronic pain that I have in the back of my neck. Sometimes that's just stress. And so pay attention to the cues that God gives you. You're not controlled by them. Feelings don't lead, but they are indicators. And so pay attention to the indicators and start asking, like, what are the ways that I am not caring for this area properly? And it might just be that you're taking too much on yourself.
Yeah,
because God did create us to be dependent on Him first. And then He did not create us to be codependent on other people, but to be interdependent. That is why He talked about the church as a body. And so really, when one part is flourishing, everybody flourishes. And when one is injured, everybody injures. Everyone's injured. And so thinking about it in such a way of, am I trying to function as a full body when I'm one part? Like, by myself apart from it, like just asking all of those questions to see, where am I not stepping into God's design for how he did make me to be? Those are two areas where I would check for warning signs that you're not resting the way that God has you to be, is your emotions and then how you feel physically.
I love that. So good. And you know, when I read the scripture, when I look at the life of Jesus and I look at how He ministers to others and how intentional He is in taking time to love others, He was never hurried. Like he never lived from a place of like, I gotta get this done, you know, because He was so dependent upon His Father, and He took the time to go upon the mountain and pray to His Father very early in the morning. So I wanna ask you, you know, if we're called to live from a place of rest and we're called to emulate the example of Jesus in our lives, like what does scripture say about Jesus Himself resting?
Oh man. Well, Jesus did rest. We see Him pausing to eat. We see Him, but we also see Him like getting up early to spend time with the Father. We also, for those that are not early birds, for the record, the Gospels also talk about Him staying up all night. So there's not, that's right. There's not like one way or the other. But one of the main, like Jesus, he didn't run Himself ragged. He had physical limitations that we see, but He also prioritized His relationship with the Lord. Note that He wasn't just getting up to get more done. He was getting up to go to a mountainside by Himself to pray and spend time with the Father. And so there are sleep is one way to rest, but I'm also super rested and filled up when I get up early to spend time with the Lord, because that is restful for my soul, not just for my body. And so when you look at the rhythms of the way that Jesus lived, he lived a very intentional life. But he also, if you really read the gospel accounts, a lot of the miracles and encounters that Jesus had with individuals were not planned. They weren't on his planner. They were actually interruptions. And I feel like I'm probably speaking to a lot of women who don't like to be interrupted. Me either. But I have gotten better at it just simply for the fact that I look at the life of Jesus. Every time I'm in the Gospels and I look at it, I realize that Jesus did so much ministry after an interruption. And if I make it about me, then I am really following my plan more than I am actually staying in step with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And I've noticed too, a lot of ministry is done in the margins of our lives. It's not always on a stage or, you know, in front of a platform. It is those small conversations in the hallway at church that you have with another sister in Christ. It is those moments where the Holy Spirit, if you're open to it, right, he's really going to use you in a special way. So I love that, Michelle. And I want to ask you another question as we kind of wrap this up. You know, if we have a lady in our lives and we just know, you know, okay, she's putting too much on her plate. Like, I can tell that she is not living from a place of rest. I can tell that she's, you know, maybe like what you were saying, some warning signs, irritable or emotional right now. How can we encourage ladies around us to live from a place of rest, especially if we see them not doing so?
I think a lot of times we know what to do. We even know how to identify it in other people, but we don't always stop to ask ourselves the questions that we ask other people. And so ask really good questions. Rather than going up and making observations, let her talk. Open up the door for her to be vulnerable, for her to have that space to share. Ministry of presence and the ministry of listening are two of the most undervalued ministries that we have as believers to one another. You don't always have to have an answer and a solution. And listen, here are the three steps that you can take to a better life. We don't always need to have those. We just need to be a listening ear to other people and a prayer warrior for them, and to be willing to step out of our comfort zone and to just spend time investing in the life of somebody else. And so I wouldn't come to anybody with a solution or with a plan. I would come with a ministry of presence and a willingness to listen. And then after you listen, if you can offer a solution, then absolutely offer it. But more than anything else, pray with her right then and continue to pray for her, because God can do so much more than we can. And so just limiting someone to our scope of what we can observe or what we can help is a limited scope of care. Versus bringing in the power of God. And so listen, be there, and pray.
So good. Ladies, like I said, I hope that you are taking notes right now. I mean, I'm telling you, I wish I had my notepad as you're talking. So good. Well, as we wrap this up, you know, it is December the 14th, so Christmas is 11 days away. It's happening, and I'm excited. Grant and I, our five-year anniversary is coming up in January, so we're headed to the Keys next week. So I'm like ready. Like, he's already packed. I'm like,
let's go.
Yeah. So it's all the fun things are happening. So I'm super excited about that. But I want to ask you, what are you looking forward to the most about the Christmas season? You live in Asheville, so you've got like a lot of like Christmassy things going on around you. So.
There's so many Christmassy things, but I'm telling you what, we were actually just talking about this as a family a couple of nights ago at the dinner table. We are so excited for slow mornings.
Yes.
Our mornings, like getting everybody up, ready to go to school, ready to go to church. Like it's fast. And that week between Christmas and New Year, we really slow down. And that means slower, like get out of bed, a breakfast around the table, usually a Christmas movie popping on and the keeping the Christmas tree up. Because yes. There's something about Christmas tree in the morning.
Mine's not up till February.
That to me, I'm so excited about that. And then I'm also, one of my absolute favorite moments is the Christmas Eve service. It's one of my favorite services all year long. You know this about me. I Christmas pretty hard and I Christmas pretty early. Like I start October 1st. Like that is when it begins. I confessed this and half of the room was with me at Refresh and half of the room could not believe that I dedicate a full quarter to this.
Oh yeah, we're in this.
But the moment that it transitions from like the Christmas season to like it is Christmas is the candlelight moment at the end of our Christmas Eve service. And there is just something about it that is and it's not just a pretty room, but it is a tangible reminder of the ways that God has been faithful to individuals in our church body. And it is such a picture of his faithfulness and his goodness and his light that permeates the darkness and the hope that we have, because we do have hope. He came once.
Yeah.
But we have hope that he's coming again. Mm-hmm. And I always think about that, about the next, because if you think about it, we should continually live in a position of Advent.
Yeah.
Because Advent is anticipation. And so there is an anticipation on our hearts that he is coming back for us. Just like he came one time, he's coming again. So,
amen.
It's my heart fired on all cylinders.
I love that part of the Christmas Eve service. It is so good because it's like the light shines bright even in the darkness. You know, yep. You see, when all the lights are off and there's candles, it's just, I love that so much. Yeah, I love Christmas. Like, I'm totally with you in starting October the 1st. A leaf falls, and I'm like, deck the halls. Like, I am.
That's right.
Yeah. So, Christmas tree staying up till February, like it always does. So, I mean, it is going to be great. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming to speak to our ladies today and doing this podcast with me. It was so encouraging to hear your heart for rest. And I learned so much from you in my own life on what it looks like to live well, but also how to rest well. So thank you so much for coming and encouraging us today. Ladies, we hope you have a very Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for tuning in to December's edition of She Flourishes, and we'll see you next year.